Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So the British government is set to ban energy drinks for under-16s in England. Around 100,000 children there are thought to consume at least one high-caffeine energy drink every single day. And ministers there say a ban could prevent obesity in up to 40,000 children and will help prevent disrupted sleep, increased anxiety and lack of concentration, as well as poorer school results. With more on this, I'm joined first by Henry Riley, who's a reporter with LBC in London. Henry, thank you for being with us. I remember we spoke back in June last year when Labour made this. It was a pre-election promise, wasn't it? And now it's happening. So what exactly are they doing?
Well, at the moment, Claire, good morning, they are launching this consultation. You're quite right. It was in the manifesto banning the sale of high caffeine energy drinks to under 16. And what you've got now is this 12-week period where they will seek evidence from teachers, from health experts, really looking at the effect of these high caffeine energy drinks on people. And I think the hope really is to follow what they're doing in Norway, a very similar proposal that's coming in there from the start of 2026. After the consultation will run really early next year, I think the government will be looking to get this through Parliament, as you say, a manifesto commitment. And you mentioned the 100,000 figure of children consuming at least one high caffeine energy drink. A third of 13 to 16 year olds consume them regularly on a weekly basis. So clearly it's something the Health Secretary is very concerned about.
Okay, and there's a very high consumption rate in Britain in particular, in the context of Europe, isn't there, of these drinks in general terms?
There are. And I mean, you have to look at the metric by which the Health Secretary is measuring this by. And they're looking at milligrams of caffeine per litre. And I mean, it would mean for some people that obviously Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, tea, coffee wouldn't be banned. But when you look at the sheer amount of caffeine that's in some of these other energy drinks, I mean, it's huge. One of which, called Prime, has 420 milligrams of caffeine. Monster or Relentless, very popular brands as well, 320 milligrams of caffeine. So they are very popular. And look, the likes of Jamie Oliver have been talking about getting rid of these for under 16-year-olds for some time. And I mentioned some of those brands there. I mean, it's sort of the equivalent of three or four double espressos. So it's a hell of a lot of caffeine.
Henry, thanks very much for bringing us the detail on it. Henry Riley there from LBC in London. Professor Donal O'Shea is with us too, the HSE's National Clinical Lead for Obesity. And clearly now, Donal, we'll be asking, should we be doing the same here?
Well, we've already been kind of asking for that kind of action to be taken, you know, over the last number of years. We have data from the Healthy Ireland survey that shows the pattern of consumption of these drinks in our teenagers and young adults. And we know the links to diseases like migraine, like poor concentration, like if you have a little bit of ADHD, then a double espresso or two double espressos on top of that, and it literally sends you into orbit. And there are parents approaching us all the time saying, you know, if my kid gets a can of one of those energy drinks, they're uncontrollable for a few hours. So mm-hmm. I think the teachers would be delighted to see a ban. I think parents would be delighted to see a ban. Ultimately, it will impact on obesity rates in our young adult population. And that's where you need to start addressing the obesity issue.
So just on the link to obesity, is that separate ingredients you're concerned about in these drinks, not the caffeine, or is the caffeine having an impact there too?
No, the caffeine is not impacting on weight. It is what happens with these energy drinks is, even if they don't contain sugar, they're sweet. And if something sweet hits your mouth, then your body releases insulin because it's expecting a sugar hit. And if you release insulin, then your blood sugar goes down a little bit, and that makes you hungry. So you are more likely to be more hungry when you consume these energy drinks.
Mm-hmm. So where are we at here with considering a ban? Because there was a bill around, wasn't there? But it was paused.
Yeah. That's right. And again, successful industry lobbying with the narrative, this will cost jobs. That's always their first protocol, or the link with diseases isn't true. That's the next protocol. Where we are now is there's a new obesity policy and action plan been drawn up at the moment, and it's actually out for consultation at the moment, and links on the Department of Health website if people want to contribute. But we want to see actions like this, actions around legislation, beyond simply the energy drinks, because you need to attack, in my view, things like calorie posting on menu boards. You need to ensure that sugar tax is robustly implemented and expanded to other high fat, high salt, high sugar food groups. So by the end of this year, we will have an obesity policy for the next 5 years. And I hope it's going to contain a commitment in this area.
Mm-hmm. These drinks are really in your face, aren't they? They're in every single shop, you know, when you go in. And I see them anecdotally. I see young kids walking around with them, you know, between 9 and, say, 17. It has become a regular occurrence now that you would see them walking around sipping on these things.
It's a regular occurrence, and it's been heavily promoted on social media through influencers who are paid to product place. And a kid who's, engaged with, following somebody, if they see them drinking one of these drinks and saying it's good for you, they believe them. Mm-hmm. And we need to protect them from that.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I think Cristiano Ronaldo, didn't he produce a bottle of water at a press conference one time, removing the sponsor's drink and placing the water? When somebody does that, that also has a huge impact, you know, in terms of pushback.
But that was magnificent. And I remember when my brother was managing Harlequins, he was drinking Powerade because they were sponsoring the club. And when I told him to stop drinking Powerade, he's a coach, you don't need it, you're just product promoting. Powerade were back to say, fine, he can drink water, but it needs to be in a Powerade bottle.
Yeah, but you see, you're coming back then to the funding of sport. And, you know, we were talking very recently on this programme about the problems that rugby is facing, not just here, but internationally, you know, in France and in Wales and so on. And they develop these relationships, as much as we don't like them. They're part of the commercial reality. But that, I suppose, is a conversation for another day. Donal, thank you very much for being with us. That's Professor Donal O'Shea. We'll take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.